The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's racing on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 11:50am with Darren Owen, Craig Forsyth and Mark Slater in the studio. We have racing from Fontwell, Southwell and Uttoxeter on Tuesday, so do tune in for all of that. Right now though, my name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Yes, good, thank you, Mark.
Good man. What we'll do is we'll start with a look back at some of the weekend action in the Monday jury, and then we'll get Mick's selections for Tuesday. So starting in the Monday jury, Mick, what Crabby's Grand National clues emerged at Aintree?
Few and far between. Yeah. I think our father staked his claims, didn't he? He overcame a less than convincing first visit to Aintree, but the very fact that they took him back for another go, and he was much happier this time, wasn't he?
Mm.
And with that behind him, I would think that would be as good a clue as we'd get. I can't see Oscar Time turning up for his. He'll be 14. He didn't really stay 4.5 anyway. Admirable horse that he is. And so really, out of this weekend's action, I would say our father would probably be the one.
Yeah.
Although Mendip Express ran quite well from a long way back, didn't he, in the Beecher. So, you know, that could augur well for him.
Yeah.
And, you know, he stayed on as if, you know, going round again wouldn't be a big problem for him.
Mm.
So maybe that could be the other one.
Okay. A couple there then from Aintree this weekend. Let's talk about the champion chase. How do you see that after the Tingle Creek result, Mick? Do you think it'll have a massive bearing?
I'm underwhelmed by the Tingle Creek result. Good horses that they are. They're just a shade below what we expect to be winning the Queen Mother champion chase. I'll be surprised if the winner's not in Ireland, if he's not in his box in Lambourne or Lewis. But no, I don't think we saw the champion winner on Saturday. Admirable as he was, dodging bullets.
Mm. It's 12-1 at the moment, dodging bullets for the champion chase. The market's still headed, obviously, by Sprinter Sacre and Cider Grugy. So we need to see them back on the race course. Really,
absolutely, of course you do. Yeah, very much a waiting game on the anti-post market on that, isn't it?
It is, yes. Because if either of those reappear and win convincingly, then you won't get 7-2 or 4-1 about them, will you?
So. Exactly. It'll just shake the market up out of all recognition, won't it?
Mm. Did we see a future star in the Racing Post Henry VIII novices chase?
No.
Simple as that?
Yep.
Fair enough. What did you make of the result, though, Mick? I mean, Vibrato Valtat is a tricky one, isn't it?
I think he owed a lot to the brilliant ride he got off Feely, don't you?
Yeah.
And fair play to him. But he doesn't strike me as an Arkle horse. He wouldn't live with the Willie Mullins horse, would he, over fences?
No.
And he's won his grade one. And, you know, Paul Nicholls will place him to good effect.
Mm-hmm.
So he has a knack of improving them again and again, doesn't he, Nicholls? And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he just, you know, go on from here, because there's a definite lack of quality at the 2 mile division.
Mm.
And, you know, he's one of the best domestic novices around at that trip. So, yeah, I'm not knocking him by any means, but, you know, compared to probably what there is in Ireland, I think he's got work to do.
Yeah. Which was the performance to take out the John Durkin?
You'd have to say Connection to be absolutely delighted with all the, you know, with the finishes, wouldn't they? I mean, it turned into a fantastic race, didn't it? The winner has finally put his doubters. Why he should have doubters? I mean, won as many grade ones as he has, I'm not quite sure. They ought to go out and try and find one and, you know, and train him. The second ran really well again. He's a very good horse. And they must have been absolutely delighted with Lord Windermere's run.
Yeah.
He'd have probably beat them all in another 100 yards, wouldn't he?
He would, yeah.
You know, it was a really good... And Texas Jack, the only other finisher, coming back from a long layoff, Noel had been absolutely delighted with him as well. I think it was a really good race to John Durkin as ever. And, that's going to be the key race for that division throughout the year.
Yeah. plenty to like about all four of them, weren't there?
Absolutely. So, yeah. All four connections will have gone home happy with that.
Yep. Give us an eye catcher from the last 2 days, Mick.
Weatherby the other day, come back Colin. I've certainly solved one of my Christmas present problems. I know what to get Dougie Costello now for Christmas. A flipping stopwatch. What on earth he was thinking about, I just do not know. Going off at 2.5 miles around Weatherby in testing ground at that pace. They're dropping back to 2 miles. He'd get away with it ridden like that. But you don't need to. He's a good jumper, but you don't need to do that. He just blew the race away. He just threw it away. And come back, Collins, a chaser to keep on the right side of.
OK. We've got Cheltenham coming up this weekend. Who do you fancy in Cheltenham's Caspian Caviar Gold Cup on Saturday?
It's hard to look beyond Cade de Burleigh, isn't it? The handicapper is very lenient for his win in the Paddy Power. He only put him up 5.
Mm.
They go up 5 for getting beat.
Yeah.
He's only 5 years old. He's got plenty of improvement to come. Look at his Cheltenham record. He was 3rd in the Martin Pipe Conditional Jockeys at the festival in 2014. He was 2nd in the Fred Winter in 2013. And he's won the Paddy Power. I mean, suggesting that Cheltenham's very much a happy hunting ground for him.
Mm.
And if the weight stays they are, he's going to have a really good fighting weight of 11 stone. It's very hard to look beyond him. And, you know, I was scratching around. I was looking at horses like At a Glance, who's got Cheltenham Place form. Tenor Nevenay, brilliant training performance via Venetia to bring him back after 622 days off to win at Kempton. A second season novice, but, you know, the old bounce factor is going to kick in a bit, isn't it, there? He has underperformed in all of his 4 visits to Cheltenham, which would be a slight concern to me, unlike Cade Burley, who's excelled himself in all his 3 visits to Cheltenham.
Yeah.
It's just hard, if not impossible, which sounds a ridiculous thing to say in a Grade 3 handicap chase, but Cade Burley is the one to beat.
OK. What do you make of John Spirit, Mick? He obviously only just done by Cade Burley.
Exactly, but, you know, up and again... 11-12. Mm. I mean, he's going to be worth his place in Grade 1 company if he can throw down another big run. I honestly think his handicap days are almost over, John Spirit. The rate of improvement. He's only 7 years old.
Mm.
And, you know, I think they shouldn't be nearly thinking about not breaking his heart, trying to give lumps away to up-and-coming young second-season novices and try his hand at Grade 1 level.
Yeah.
He's that good.
He is. I wrote him off for the Paddy Power, thinking he can't operate off that kind of weight. And
yeah.
Very impressive to get so close. So.
Yeah, absolutely. No, he's a Grade 1 horse in waiting, I think, John Spirit. Whether he can concede £12 to Cade de Burleigh is another matter.
Mm. All right, well, let's move on. Mick's picked out 3 races for us on Tuesday, and we'll get his thoughts next.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Tuesday. Mick's picked out 3 races for us at Southwell, starting in the 2 o'clock, which is a Class 5 handicap over a mile for 3-year-olds and older. We have 13 of them to go to post here, Mick, and it's quite an open race, so what do you like here?
Yeah, I've got to declare an interest here. I did have a technical consultant in the shape of Ross Briley when I was doing this Southwell card. Yeah, in the 2 o'clock... I like the look of I'm Super 2, trained by Alan Swinbank. Martin Dwyer, who rode him last time, is taking the ride. He's yet to win away from Hamilton, but he is back to his last winning mark of 65, and he has won off 76. So I think he's very interesting. He's shaped with distinct promise on his Fibersand on both of his starts, including last time, which I think is significant, and I'm Super 2... I think can take advantage of what is a winnable contest. Uncle Brit, down at the bottom, Rebecca Menges trains, Pat MacDonald takes the ride, saves some of his best performances for here, including a neck defeat last time. Could have done without going up £4 for that, but he has won a turf handicap off of this mark. And the other one who is worthy of a mention, mainly because he's so well handicapped, is Amenable. Very well handicapped if he can bounce back, and he is a 3 times course winner. And Conador came out of a quiet spell with a very impressive winner at Lingfield the other day. And this is the interesting thing about Amenable is in his lengthy career, this is his first run over this far. But he's got some decent form over seven, and I've often thought he'd be well worth his try at a mile. And it's interesting, Emil. I wouldn't be at all surprised if he outran his price and hit the frame. Certainly open up the opportunities for him if he does appear to get the mile well, because he's so well handicapped at the moment. He could rattle up a three or four timer if he'd showed that a mile is not beyond him. So I'm Super 2 is the selection, but I'm going to keep a close eye on Amenable.
Yeah, he's won races in the 80s, hasn't he, in the past Amenable?
Absolutely, yeah. And it was a good sign that Connor back to winning form last week.
Okay, the 2:30 is where we go next. This is a Class 6 nursery over a mile, so we have 2-year-olds in action for this one. A few of them have been knocking on the door, the likes of Offshore and the Olympus Man. Pyro Cumulus got off the mark last time, so it's quite an interesting race.
Yes, it is. Bradley talked me into this one, so if he gets beat, blame him. Offshore, solid efforts, I should say, in all four of his handicaps of 62 and 63. He keeps bumping into one without appearing to do anything wrong. I think the interesting thing about him is he's coming here for a trainer who's got a 25% strike rate here at Southwell. And so he knows what to bring here. And he stays 10 furlongs, which is a long way for a two-year-old. He was placed over 10 furlongs at Bath on the turf. And if this turns into a test of stamina, and if he handles the fibre sand, I think he could play to his strength, despite the fact that he's got the steadier of 9'7". Interesting contender, so he gets the vote. As you mentioned, Pyro Cumulus, he went up 9 for that 12-runner nursery at this course 35 days ago, won by 3 lengths from Excelling Oscar. With Excelling Oscar going on and franking the form next time, he's shot up as well, so Pyro Cumulus is only £2 worse off now for 3 lengths with Excelling Oscar. And it was his first run on the fibre sand, and he did look a natural. And he might be able to win again despite that £9 ride. Only getting £5 offshore, though, and this looks a tougher race than the one he won. As we said, Excelling Oscar went on to win next time. He only gets £2 now for 3 lengths for going up for that win. Forget the run at Wolverhampton last time. He just did too much too soon from the front. He does handle the surface. As I said, the trainer back to form with a winner last week. I think he'll be the forgotten horse of the race, Excelling Oscar. And I think he could be the pro market horse or an each way in that. But I do think offshore might be the answer.
Okay, offshore then in the 2:30. The 3 o'clock is where we'll finish. This is a Class 6 handicap over 5 furlongs. It's for 3-year-olds and older, and 14 of them in the lineup. Similar story here, Mick. Quite an open race.
The Flying 5, yes. Master of Disguise is interesting. He's got a modest straight rate, but he is very effective here. And he was a close third off a mark of 65 on his last run here, and he's got in off 57 with Graham Gibbons booked by Brian Boff, which suggests they mean business. Not being far this last twice, suggesting he's in form probably better than his form figures might look, and I think he can play a part, and he should be an each way price as well. Dan Zoe is won one of his two visits here over course and distance. Christine Dunnett trains. He is £7 higher than his last win here, but he has won off 70 on the turf, so this mark of 57 shouldn't be beyond him. He's not totally reliable, but he does come here in form, and that's quite important with a sprinter, isn't it? So he makes the shortlist, but the vote is going to go to Lazy Sue. She's making her fibre sand debut here, but she's a daughter of Sleeping Indian, who's got a 20% strike rate on the fibre sand, which is not too shabby, is it?
No.
She's trained by Richard Guest at Weatherby. Jason Hart taking the ride. She's still a maiden, but knocking on the door, comes here in good form, and I think the move to this service could be the answer with her being a daughter of a Sleeping Indian. So Lizzie Sue gets the vote in the 3 o'clock.
Okay, good stuff, Mick. Thank you very much. Let's just have a quick summary, if you wouldn't mind.
Okay, in the 2 o'clock, I'm Super 2 to get the ball rolling for us. In the 2.30, as Tam Offshore got his head in front, this could be a good opportunity for him. And in the 3 o'clock, Lazy Sue makes her 5% debut, and she's by Asaya, who gets 5% winners, so she'll do for me.
Good stuff. Thank you very much, Mick. Good luck, and enjoy it on Tuesday.
I will do, Mark. Thank you.
So there you go, the thoughts of Mick Norton on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 11:50 a.m. Darren Owen, Craig Forsyth and Mark Slater will be in the studio for the meetings at Fontwell, Southwell and Uttoxeter. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.